CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Iran deal. In the course of the Ukrainian war, the Iran deal is not only in front of us. The talk of these last weeks is that it's close to completion. However, we have contradictory headlines in these last hours. For example, from London, the revival of the Iranian nuclear deal must allow participants unhindered cooperation in all areas without discrimination, says the foreign minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov. This statement, striking in that what we're dealing with now is a war in Europe, but Lavrov is looking for the Iran deal to be completed in some fashion that is a cooperation with Russia, a combatant in Ukraine. The Iran deal is about the suspect nuclear weapons program in Iran. However, moving parts of it also include Russia's commitment to helping Iran dispense with and process enriched uranium, a uranium that's attached to its Bushehr plant, uranium that may or may not be part of the final deal to process that uranium. To help me sort through these matters, because there are two or three stories here, is Claudia Rosette of the Independent Women's Forum helping all of us in the New York Sun understand where we are in the Iran deal, lost in the fog of war in Ukraine. Claudia, very good evening to you. Russia wants to be part of the Iran deal. Russia now a pariah, to my understanding, to the EU, to NATO, to the United Nations. Where are we? Where is the U.S. and its representatives in finalizing the Iran deal, this tormented negotiation since January of 2021? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. We, the United States, are in a contortionist position that belongs in the circus, not in nuclear talks. The U.S. has, in engaging in these talks again at all, the U.S. has ceded the great gift to both China and Russia. But let's focus on Russia here right now, because they're the ones in hot war in Ukraine right now. The gift that to get to any deal, to have these negotiations at all, they are needed at the table. The negotiating format called the P5 plus one is the permanent five members of the UN Security Council, the nuclear armed states, the US, UK, France, and then China and Russia, and as well as Germany. They all have to reach an agreement that everyone's with. In the Wendy Sherman formulation, nothing is agreed till everything is agreed. So the US cannot get to some deal without Russia saying okay. And so the Biden administration is so desperate to resurrect America's role in this ghastly deal that Russia is now slopping on the conditions what it wants. And we're heading for a deal that's even worse than the last time, and we'll have fallout that will create fresh problems. That's where we are.
If I understand Mr. Lavrov's remarks, which are in translation, Mr. Lavrov wants to be part of the Iran deal, but it can't be separate from the sanctions that have been visited upon Russia. At centerpiece here is the price of oil. Iran has a deal of oil. We're told that it is not now on the market, although it might be with the black market and the workarounds and the smuggling. We don't know. But in any event, Lavrov wants to be part of the nuclear power deal, let's call it that, non-nuclear weapons deal. And he also wants to be part of the resolution of Iran's oil to the market. But we're talking about sanctioning Russian oil. Claudia, this doesn't belong on the same table. We have different tables moving here. Why does the Biden administration, during the Ukrainian conflict, not back off? Why does the Biden administration, according to the news, continue to press for an Iran deal?
Part of it is legacy. It's they want to overturn. Trump pulled the U.S. out in 2018. They want back in. Part of it's that. But another big part of it is this desire, and this was, again, prominent in the Obama administration. It was part of what was driving the original Iran deal reached in 2015, and I think it's driving it again. And that is this vision of reshaping the architecture of world security, the Middle East. They were looking to Iran, believe it or not, as a stabilizing influence. the idea being you cut this deal on paper, which actually was never going to prevent Iran getting the bomb. It was full of sunset clauses and side deals and et cetera. It was a way to the bomb. But the point, at least in substantial part, was giving Iran this job to be sort of the stability anchor of the Middle East, which is, if you want crazy, that's way up there on the scale. But that is, and that's part of what Russia is now playing on. Russia, in fact, one of the crazy things that the Iran talks has been the Iranians have refused to speak directly with the U.S. So the prime intermediary has been Russia, which is now sort of the maitre d' of these talks while under these sanctions they just put on, including sanctions on Lavrov himself, the Russian foreign minister, and handing down these conditions that overturn the whole thing that the Biden administration is trying to do with sanctions, if for the benefit of one of the world's leading terrorist sponsoring state, right, and one of the most... and by the way, they'd also like to buy some oil from Venezuela. Feeding into this, just to add more rings to the circus, is the Biden administration is worried about the effect on the midterm elections of the gasoline prices we're now seeing in the United States. It's a world market.
Let's go to one more complication. You're doing well with the ones I've given you so far. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he dismissed as irrelevant Russia's demands for guarantees that new sanctions linked to Ukraine will not affect Moscow's rights under a reworked Iran deal. With the parties to the Iran agreement, which the U.S. abandoned in 2018, now close to a new accord, Blinken rejected fresh demands voiced by Sergei Lavrov. So our Secretary of State is rejecting their Secretary of State's demands to be in some fashion provided access to the resolution of the Iran deal. Claudia, I've run out of room on my scorecard here. This suggests to me that there is no Iran deal possible during Ukraine conflict. Is that too shorthanded for for these competing voices?
No, not at all, John. In fact, one of the things I keep an eye out for, it is possible that they will get to some kind of deal, in which case prepare yourself to, you know, have the universe turn inside out as you read it. But I think there's also great incentive here for Russia to drag this out, to keep slopping on conditions. And remember, they have considerable clout with the Iranians, as do the Chinese. Basically, as long as the Iran talks are going on, they have a lot of leverage over this administration and what it does in Ukraine, where the Russians are now waging a war, where China is watching. I don't think because Xi Jinping is being daunted. I think he's studying and learning how he can do it better for Taiwan. I'm very worried about that. But they have an interest in ratcheting up the demands, slopping on new things, either this eager administration, desperate for a deal, desperate to get to oil from Iran, from Venezuela, any place but our own. They won't free up our own, which is the real answer. Will look to kowtow, to find condition, to find ways they can do it. Or if they simply, Russia gets the leverage of having us effectively hostage to our own desire for an Iran nuclear deal. It's as if somebody came into your house with his gang of thugs, and while he's pillaging the house, he takes the kids out back and holds them at gunpoint. And Tony Blinken is telling us, the two don't really have that much to do with each other. You know, we're going to deal with that's the problem.
We'll end with the quote from Antony Blinken on Sunday. This said the secretary, the sanctions on Russia over its invasion of Ukraine, quote, have nothing to do with the Iran nuclear deal. Claudia Rosette of the Independent Women's Forum, sorting through what cannot possibly be made into a short sentence. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.